Welcome back to the Sporting Spotlight, of course, brought to us by Air Diffusion Australia, our great sponsors and good friends. They're popping up all around Australia too.
They are.
Queensland now getting bigger. They're bigger in Melbourne, bigger in Darwin, bigger in Adelaide. Pretty soon they're going to take over the world, I reckon.
Bigger than Texas.
Bigger than Texas. And I noticed the next guest I'm about to introduce, mate, you had a lot to do with him and you've been he doesn't like to do a lot of these, so we've been very fortunate.
Yeah.
So I looked him up and we've talked about what he did over his career, other than being a roommate for you, which I'm sure will come up through the conversation, which would have been a whole lot of course. He's one of only nine players.
Only once.
One of only nine players to get 100 on debut for Australia at a test, 107 if you want to be exact. Of course, started his career in Victoria as an 18-year-old. He debuted with the great Bill Laurie as his captain. Then, of course, he moved to South Australia because he saw the light and led South Australia, along with some other blokes, to a Sheffield Shield, first one.
He
played some 18 tests for Australia.
Yeah.
And although he got recognised with the bat,
yeah,
he was pretty good with the ball. Didn't get as much recognition as average with
average
the ball.
They used to call him Bilo.
Bilo.
Yeah, help yourself.
All right, mate. We'll start with the same program where I build them up and you shoot them down, mate. We're talking about the great Gary Kozik. Gary, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, boys. And thanks for having me on. Good to see you again.
Great to see
it's been
mate.
A long time.
It has been a long time. Yeah. Matter of fact, how long has it been? Because it would have, you went back to Brisbane.
38, 40 years, I reckon. I haven't been to Adelaide Oval. I played some Crusader games. The Wednesday games back in about 87, I reckon.
Wow.
It was the last time I've been here.
Wow.
It's changed a bit looking out the window.
Just a little bit,
hasn't it? Yeah.
So have we.
Yeah, you've just changed a little bit, Baz. You didn't have any hair, then you haven't got any hair now. Unbelievable.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting interview now. Now he started.
I already like where he's going.
But I was trying to work out before how long it because you went back to Queensland.
Yeah, I went
think the year after we won the Shield.
No, it was a year after. 77. We came home from the England tour.
Yeah.
When the Packer thing broke in 77.
That's right. Yes.
And then I was the only reason I left. I was talking this about this last night. Was that there was no job here for me.
Yeah.
I was working for 5AA back in the day.
Yeah.
And got the call when we were in England to say that they'd been sold or a change of strategy and going to beautiful music and all that sort of stuff. And there probably wasn't a job here for me when I got back.
Change of strategy. That's
a new Tomo heard that and had his lawyers over there trying to get him out of World Series cricket. And he said, hey, you blokes, he needs a job. Get him up to Queensland. And that's kind of the way it finished. It was only that.
Yeah, back then, Coz, that was a pretty good offer you got from Queensland. Really.
Oh, that was later on. That was in the next year. But that was, it was...
Well, not bad.
It was a bit of hype, actually. A
bit of hype?
Okay. No, it was all right. But I worked for 4IP up there, radio station 4IP, where Viv Richards was and Elvin Kalacharan.
Yeah, yeah.
Tomo was there. When I say he was there, he was fishing.
Yeah.
And but he was attached to the station. But there was a good time. It was a good place to work for.
Yeah.
I had some good years up in Queensland, but my South Australian days were pretty special.
It'll be 40 years since I caught up with you, mate. That's
long enough, actually. Could have made it 41 or 42, wouldn't
it? Yeah, we could have, but I found out you're in Adelaide. I was always going to go back.
Mate, you touched on the World Series cricket, 77. You're about to embark on a tour for the Ashes.
Yeah.
World Series cricket's breaking out. You're on a flight. Some of the players have signed, or we know later on that all of them, bar you have signed.
Yeah.
And then you find out, your mate David Hooks, best man at his wedding, and finally Hooks confesses, but thought you might be signed. Was it a difficult part of the tour? Did you feel like...
Look, Hooks and I sat beside each other on the way over, you know, and it was the Rod Marsh breaking the drinking record tour.
Yep.
And Hooks and I went early on the tour, strangely enough, you know, those little gins and everything that happened to serve. Yeah, something like 18 between Melbourne and Singapore and woke up just outside of Amsterdam. But in all that sort of thing, he didn't say anything. Nobody said anything at all until about halfway through the tour, not quite halfway.
Yeah.
And then I've come down the stairs to breakfast with Jeff Dimmick and Lenny Maddox, and Al McGilvray, the famous Al McGilvray, was in the bar at like 8:30 in the morning, which was, I didn't know whether that hadn't left because this happens sometimes, Baz, you know that?
But
I said, what's going on, boys? And they, a bit early, and they said, you better go upstairs and talk to your mates.
Yeah.
So I went upstairs and in the breakfast room, I I went up to Hooks. I said, mate, what's going on? He said, sorry, mate, I couldn't tell you. But he said, something's happening, involves Kerry Packer. Yeah, we think that we can play for Australia and maybe play these other games as well. And he said, I didn't know whether you're in or out. And he said, we didn't know who was in and who was out. So he said, but I couldn't mention it. So it was a pretty... And then it got difficult, not necessarily with Hooksy, but the tour got difficult. We weren't winning.
Yeah.
You know, it was a terrible tour as far as that was concerned. The Poms were good, you know, and we weren't very good. And then it sort of just degraded into... Yeah, they'd have their meeting at one hotel while the rest of us would be waiting. Yeah, they weren't involved because Kim Hughes, Jeff Dimmick, Craig Sargent, and at the end, Tomo and myself weren't involved, but the others would have their meeting, you know, with Kerry Packer or whoever down at another hotel from time to time, which didn't help things.
Well, it wouldn't have helped you winning and losing games.
No, that
would have split the team. In two, really.
Yeah. And it wasn't only, I mean, there was a few guys who were pretty vocal. Maxie Walker, Kerry O'Keefe became quite vocal on how they thought the team was progressing through that time.
Yeah.
You know, so it was pretty, it was an awkward time.
And it would have been awkward too, as well.
Could not have put a wedge through the group. Then a couple of years later, and you would know the time frame better than I, then they started to allow the blokes to come back and play Shield cricket. And that stage you were into Queensland.
Yeah.
Greg Chappell was the... Yeah. Captain?
Yeah, Greg came back. Yeah.
So Bill Laurie, Ian Chappell, Greg Chappell, and yourself at one stage was captain of Australia.
Vice captain.
What did you take from the three of them? Were they very different?
Well, Bill, I grew up with, you know, I went to Northcote when I was 11. Hoggy was 12, you know. And we grew up together playing at Northcote with Bill as the Australian captain, and he was probably the hardest man, I think. He was like steel. Mm. He was a hard, hard man. Good bloke, but such a hard cricketer. You know, he'd come back to Northcote after playing a test series and he'd play three or four games and get 600 runs for the year. They just couldn't get... He just kept batting and batting and batting, mm-hmm. you know. Ian Chappell changed the way I play. He didn't, but then when I was able to watch how he played when I came over from Victoria, I was basically an offside player. I could watch Ian bat, and he was, you know, a lot on the leg side, opened his stance up a little bit, played really well through the onside, so I was able to do that. That kind of changed my game a fair bit. He was a great leader on the ground. Fantastic. You know that he's, you know, and he'd do some ridiculous things.
It was actually brilliant being out there,
things
wasn't it?
Up a little bit. And Greg was just a fabulous player. I mean, he did some ridiculous things that he didn't think was possible on the cricket ground, Greg. And, you know, the catches, the run-outs, the classic innings. Yeah, it was just fantastic. I've been very lucky to play with those guys.
You shared an unbelievable innings with Greg Chappell. You made 28, I think he made, in a partnership that was of 99.
Yeah.
And I reckon I read a quote somewhere where you said that was one of the best innings I played.
Yeah, I think it probably was. Greg talks about it in one of his books. He got 155. I got 28 in 3.5 hours, and then Rod Marsh got 28 in 3.5 hours against the West Indies.
Yep.
And in that time, Greg got 150, and he made it just ridiculous.
Look easy,
and we were just hanging on to a grim death as Michael Holding was charging from from the river end and just bowling like the wind.
Like they do.
So that was very valuable. And probably equal to the couple of hundreds I got or anything like that. It was just a good innings.
Which also gave you the idea that you could play that sort of innings as well.
Because of course.
You were one of those players, they said, well, you know, you like to get on with the game, but you didn't have that other side of your game where, you know, okay, I need to pull back.
And that's just as pleasurable,
as
giving them a whack, when they can't get you out and they go at the other end as doing all the...
But they weren't great sledges, were they, the West Indies? They didn't sledge, they just stared.
They stared at you from about a metre away most of the time. You're dead.
And they had a couple of missiles that could...
You
did play in a time, mate, where we was probably some of the greatest fast bowlers.
Yeah.
So your first test, we come back to that first game, I'd imagine it's a euphoric moment, you're all the buzz, and then you go... okay, I'm out now. First bloke I'm facing is Andy Roberts.
Andy Roberts just taking the second new ball.
I wouldn't have imagined. What's going through your head? 5 o'clock at night, second new ball.
Yep. Well, we'd already played against them twice here.
Yep.
And I got 200s against them.
Yep.
So one of my thoughts, well, it's not going to be three, is it? What chances of that happening, right?
Well, there nearly wasn't.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for bringing that up, too.
I
hit it, by the way.
Yep, you did.
Anybody watching and listening. So that was, so I think I got through to stumps and nearly, I was in the 40s, I think. Yeah, so just stroking them nicely.
Yeah.
And Greg was watching from the other end, which is, it's hard to get out from up there, I've decided. And
you learn a lot.
Is he listening to this? Does he listen to you guys? Yeah, sorry, Greg.
You learn a lot when you play with those boys.
But it was an interesting thing. Yeah, and Andy was bowling pretty quick.
When you face some of the best, though, obviously playing for South Australia, you faced Tomo and Lilly and Roberts and Holding. And was there any that you thought were, well, this is the quickest?
Tomo was
the scariest.
Tomo was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Only because I think because he was had that slinging action, you lost the ball. From behind him, he'd go. He'd go there and he'd go back like that, where the other guys would run in and you could see. You see it, but when he went there, the next time you saw it, it was on you.
160 clicks past.
And he was able to just produce a rearing ball off a good length. The others, if they were short, they were quick. But he did stuff off the wicket as far as the bounce was concerned that nobody else has ever done.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You could ask Ricky Darling when he got LBW in the Gabba and carried off LBW. I've never seen anybody carried off LBW before.
Well, I've always said he's the only bowler, Tomo, talking about that I actually felt like, okay, have an early night. He is the only bowler.
That puts it into context. Well,
it does.
You mean before 12?
Well, I'm talking about, let's have my wits about me tomorrow. Because, all of a sudden, like, it was in Queensland when I first faced him on a green top.
Yeah, that's right.
Where you're praying for Ian to win the toss.
And
put him in.
Yeah, that's right.
And he turned around and he went, like that. We're batting.
Yeah, you idiot.
Of course, and now I've got to go out. And Tomo, the second ball he bowled to me, it actually hit my hair. Like a flick. I know you can say now, nice shot, good shot. Yeah. But it actually flicked that little bit, because you only had the little red cap on. And I thought to myself, $6 a day I'm getting for this. I could get killed here. I'd not faced anybody that quick. There was a lot of good quicks around, that were close, but not like that.
No.
Not like that, because, as you said, the ball came on you, not from here or...
It was behind him somewhere, and then it was on you.
He was frightening. But the other thing was funny about that, Phil, and Coase will tell you this, is when you do miss the ball against Tomo, nothing happens for a second. And then you hear it go into the keeper's gloves. Because I thought when I first went out there to face him that day, I turned around and looked, and I thought, Queensland have picked a very small side for this game. They're all about this big, the blokes. They're so far back.
Because he's bowling.
Well, they've gone small here.
I can tell you, in the years I played up there, I felt a first slip for him too, and that's almost as scary as having to face him with the bat, because when the Knicks came, there was nothing below the knees, I could tell you. They were all
Everything's up here somewhere. Super
quick.
Well, he was
great. But during your career, obviously the century, first 107 for Australia, and then you get elevated very quickly from that to opening batsman. Within a couple of years, you've gone, okay, I'm going pretty good. Oh, we'll let you open.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault.
No.
Because there was no one else. I was three first, and there was no one else. And then
I think I had the same problem.
When you get the knock on the door or the phone call, so you're opening for Australia, what ran through your head at that?
Well, I used to open early on, and I opened for Victoria.
Yeah.
But I'd made myself quite comfortable down there getting the second new ball, not the first one, And when I opened, it was against India.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, so their quicks are only medium paces, really. Mm. Yeah, so it wasn't you know, the big deal then. But you just kind of had to apply yourself, I guess. I can't remember the conversation, to tell you the truth. I think they just picked the team, and then on the morning they said, well, you better open.
You better open. Yeah. It's fair bit of thought gone into it then.
Chappelle did the same with me in the 76-7 year. He told me half an hour before the game.
Could open.
Mate, you're he actually said you've got the job.
Yeah, right.
And when they say that to you in cricket,
you think you're 12th man. Yeah, then.
Well, hang on a minute. I just got some. Yeah, come on, Charlie. No, you're not 12. I want you to open.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be 12th.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be 12th.
Yeah.
First ball.
Along the journey, mate, you room with a lot of players. You know, Australian players, Sheffield Shield games. There's a lot of blokes you room with, and sometimes you go, taken a lot from this. I've learned a lot. You talked about it before, the Chappell brothers and Laurie. And there was one bloke in particular that you had to room with. Did you take anything from the Barry Curtin room buddy system?
Mainly from the fridge. I don't think we actually mentored each other very much when we were together.
No, we didn't.
It was more or less a
relationship. It was only that one trip, wasn't it? It was only the Gold Coast where we
good.
That after you won the Shield.
I had forgotten about that one.
And I can tell you what you did if you want me
no,
to.
No, just so you know. I'm remembering it.
nothing dramatic. But I know that we always had the thing about you order breakfast first, and then tomorrow night I'll order breakfast so that we're real roommates. When the doorbell rang the next morning, the guy goes, breakfast? And I'd had an early night. I think I woke up on the floor. But I went to the door, and the guy standing there looking at me like I'm some sort of zombie, or which I was. He had a tray with one of those great big Carlton draft cans on it, one of those great giant ones. And I look at him, and he goes,
it's your breakfast.
Thanks, mate. Things you do, but that wasn't a real trip, was it? Well, it was, but
it was in between, wasn't it? And we just been to Brisbane.
I think they give us that trip after we won in Brisbane.
Won
the Shield.
Yeah, that's right.
Now you got to go down and play that one day game in the middle of the week.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I remember saying to Ian, I'll probably have to miss the game because that knee that I had was. Oh, that he said, no worries at all. Baz, you can be 12. Well, no, thank you. But he said, you and eight others. They've all been there. Great trip.
I was talking to Barry before we came up, before you arrived, saying, and I know it's a difficult question to answer, but when you played and Barry played, there was only a limited number of spots to play for Australia.
Yeah.
You know, there was the test, and then one day, came towards the end for you, to make the Australian team, to make the team was a big honour. You know, now there's 40 or 50 guys that can play anywhere in between. Have we lost respect for that a little bit, for those that came before that made the pathway?
Yeah, I don't know who we is, whether it's the public. I don't think the players have, to tell you the truth. I don't think the players have at all, and I'll give you, an example of that, if you like.
Sure.
For the 50th year, the anniversary of the centenary test, they wheeled us out and they drove us around at the MCG at the tea break, and the game was pretty precariously poised. And Steve Smith, who was the captain then, and Nathan Lyons stood up, and they clapped the boys around the ground. Yeah, which was fantastic, just wonderful. They didn't have to do that. They should have been preparing and having it, but they made the time and the effort to,
you don't see that very often,
to come out. No, you don't.
In the cricket, I'm talking
about. Yeah, it was wonderful. But I think we've lost maybe the importance of playing for Australia a little bit. I don't know whether the players have, but I think maybe the general public perhaps have, because there's so many of us, so many of them.
That's not a bad point. Yeah, that's
right. That's a really good, it does just kind of has that feel about it.
Yeah.
You know, and then... Would you like to be playing now?
Yeah, I'd like to be playing.
Financial rewards for a good
like to be playing 2020.
Right now. We were playing 2020 back in the 70s. Well, what is bozos?
Yeah, I think so. We might have had to train a bit harder, Baz. We might have had to do more in the field.
That might be a problem.
Fielding might have had to improve a bit. But yeah, I think... But they play a lot. God, they play a lot.
I remember reading an article, mate.
They do play
a lot. Might have been a little ahead of your time in that you said you felt at the time as part of your responsibility to entertain. Because it's a big entertainment industry now.
Yeah.
Back then there was some, but it was a little bit more serious. But I think you'd gone to Queensland, you might have just moved and World Series cricket was still going. And there was an article where you said, in retrospect, I could have changed the way I played, but I felt I needed to entertain the crowd that was here, which is such a big part of the game now.
Yeah, because we're playing down the road from, you know, the World Series boys.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I was the most, well, there was Simpson, but apart from him, me at 9 tests was the most experienced batsman in there, right?
Yep.
And I felt a little bit of a responsibility to try to give it a bit of a whack because you had the you had the jingle, the World Series jingle, and, you know, Hooksy's clearing pickets and, whatever it was, you know. And
good point.
You lose the flow a little bit. I lost the flow a little bit. You're all expecting, look, if you miss out a couple of times, you know, you'll get 100 or, you'll play a couple of good innings. But, when you lose the flow, and you'd know it, you lose that flow and then you struggle to get it back again.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me.
But you struggle with a lower back injury too
for
the majority of your career. Do you think you were at times misjudged because of that?
Yeah, I think so, because running was really difficult for me. You know, you had to run, and then I struggled to recover, from all that. And I think that may have thought that I was lazy, didn't want to do the hard running like a Mick Malone or a, whoever.
Yep.
That wasn't the case because I played VFL, and we had to run in VFL. But perhaps that was a perception. But the back always was a problem. Yeah, I missed a couple of test matches with a back injury, and one with a back injury, the other one was a one day. Yeah, so I sort of struggled with that a fair bit, but just the way it was, unfortunately.
You touched on it then. You played a bit of VFL footy. Fitzroy was your team, and obviously mate, you've been through some interesting times, haven't you, mate? You've gone through the World Series cricket, and your team's relocated up to Brisbane. Are you still a passionate Lions supporter?
Yeah, absolutely. When I came over from Victoria, because I played for Prospect here, and I wanted to play for North Adelaide, and it was back in the days where you need the interstate clearances and everything. Fitzroy had an arrangement with West Torrens where Jerry Noonan, Normie Dare, and a pair of those guys went and played there, so they wouldn't clear me there. Yeah. So I said, so I went and played for Walkerville in the amateurs here.
Yep.
And then, I'm still very much a Fitzroy man, the Lions man from the time I could walk.
Oh, yeah, you've been patient to get the result you got last year. Been patient, then, and
they're three-peat. The three-peat.
Yes,
I was overseas in the golf business. It used to be the golf business, and I missed. I wasn't in the country for their three premierships. So this last one was pretty good for me.
What about that fourth one they went for? Were you home for that?
No, settle down, Baz. Settle down.
You've got you, mate. Three's better than one. Let's move on quickly.
Yeah, but that was the last one.
Yours was the last one.
Well,
it wasn't because they won another one since then.
Oh, yeah, but not against
them. Oh, not against you. Fair
enough, too. Not likely to for a while. No.
We had Dizzy Gillespie on a couple of weeks ago, and we're just talking about some of the funny moments in cricket, the best sledges that either were given or received. Were there any for you that stick out that you go, I heard one, or I got one, or I gave one?
I really can't. I might have given a few out from time to time, fairly, of course.
Absolutely, fairly, yeah.
Yeah, Ricky Charlesworth and a few of those other
spray one
powerhouses that used to play. Yeah. I can't remember giving to me. Because I was always critical of myself. If I played a bad shot, I'd just say, oh, you idiot. Out loud enough for everybody to hear, so nobody else had anything to say, why didn't that go for 6, you goose?
And you didn't
talking
have
to me, of course.
You?
Yeah, sorry.
And you didn't have to anyway, did you? When you were playing with Ian,
no,
there's absolutely no need for anybody else to say anything.
No,
he was
all.
He was the one.
He had enough. And in the Australian team, it was very clear that the younger guys, whoever that was, and myself, and maybe Hooksy at the time, and some other guys, were not to say anything. It was Ian Chappell, Greg Chappell, Rod Marsh, Dennis Lilly, Tomo. Yeah. That's enough of a mouthful coming out of their mouths from without the young blokes, having to say anything. So there was a hierarchy. You just play cricket and shut up. We'll look after the other stuff.
I know Hook was a good mate of yours. He was a mate of mine. I find it difficult to believe that he wasn't talking even when he was told not to. But he had some pretty good sledges off the field, on the field, and in the field. So
he was quite a funny. I can remember. Clever. I remember Hooksy coming to state practice for the first time.
Yeah, right.
Was it in our time?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And he came up behind me and said, "Hello, Mr. Curtin." That's what he said.
Did he?
"Hello, Mr. Curtin." I'm looking around. I'm Dad's here. Dad's going to have to watch me train. That's what Hooksy was like.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
was,
virtually overnight, he became this hard. And he was hard.
Yep.
On the park, he was a.
Oh, he's an unbelievable competitor.
Yeah.
Oh, he was a terrific competitor. Yeah. He was a
fun guy
and a very good player, obviously. But I had a year with Hook at West Torrens, and it was a great year. But he was a sledger.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. That's why I was
amazed. Well, basically, you
had a couple.
You drop it in. Yeah.
Well, but not all the time.
No, like Hooksy. You're right.
Only when I played.
Hooksy's. Hooksy's best sledges were with his bat, weren't they, really? I mean, that was it. And the Dean Jones run out from first slip during the Shield game.
Yes.
Where Dino kept wandering out of his wicket, out of his crease. And I forget who was bowling, but whoever was bowling bowled it to Hook at first slip.
Bowled it straight to him. Bang.
And threw the stumps down when Jonesy was out of his crease. Mm.
Jonesy would have taken that well, too.
No, not very well at all. But I remember that so well. It was so strange. That happened.
Yeah.
But it was brilliantly done because the bowler knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
Bowled it perfectly. Don't worry about the wicketkeeper. Straight to hook at first.
Yeah, he got that stuff from Ian Chappell, didn't he, really? The over of four tosses over.
Ian, when I was batting against Victoria, and Ian with Alan Hurst coming in with a new ball, and on his way in, Ian is yelling out to him, "Come on, bounce me. Come on, bounce me. I'm thinking, what the hell is going on out here?
That's him talking, not me. It's him talking. <That's right. laughs> Leave me out of it.
We don't see a lot. We see a few now that have to choose between AFL or NRL and cricket.
Yeah.
You were in that position with your time at Fitzroy and cricket. Was it a tough decision to choose?
I really wanted to play a game for the Roys. I wanted to run down the race with Kevin Murray and Gary Wilson and those guys rather than train with them.
Yep.
Yeah, we did it in pre-season stuff, but I wanted to play one game. Yeah. And I was invited back to the senior squad for the next year. When I got the invite to come over and play cricket. But even now, I just would have liked to play one game with the Lions would have been fantastic. Yeah.
I'll talk to Flank and see if I can get you a game.
Yeah, look, I think I will, right?
Slip you in, mate.
I think,
slip you on the flank.
Maybe a substitute back for a minute.
It doesn't matter.
In the grand final.
It doesn't matter.
Nothing specific, just the grand final.
Just the GF, that's fair enough.
I could kick, Barry.
Well, I don't...
Not,
mate,
you know...
I know you couldn't run between the wickets.
No.
Not when I hit him anyway. He was only quick when he hit him.
I didn't have to run.
No, that's not true. I just made that up. He was good to bat. I didn't bat with goes.
A couple of times. Yes, the Windies we batted. You got the 104, didn't you? Yeah, and I got 107, 108 or something here at Adelaide Oval.
Oh, I do remember that really well because I remember the last words spoken to us at lunch before we went out to bat.
What was that?
"Don't hook Bernard Julian because he's going across you." Remember that?
Yes.
You better go, Baz, they're trying to set you up out there. "Don't hook Bernard Julian because he's going across you." Right. Yeah. So I go there. Take guard, first ball after lunch, he bounces me, bang! Two blokes out there that went straight between the two of them. I can see him up the window. And Coase, he would say, "What are you doing?" compulsive, I think.
Was it a great year for you? You know, you guys obviously got a great camaraderie. There's banter and you haven't seen each other. And you can just feel it in the room that there's this great friendship.
Yeah.
Was there any one year through your career in Sheffield Shield that you thought, "I just love playing, I'm just enjoying it so much"?
Oh, yeah, I think that was probably it because we come from last to first.
It
was the growth of some young players, you know. And
Hooks and Darling.
Wayne Pryor.
Bang,
Hoggy, that's right. You know, it was a pretty good team when you look at it.
But you could see the confidence, guys, couldn't you?
Yeah.
From last last to first is no easy feat in any sport, I think. But when you do that, I think halfway through that year, I could feel in the team, within the team, the confidence.
Yeah.
No matter who we play.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Who cares? No matter.
Yeah, because you, know, you get out of the crappy times, don't you? And you manage to get through it.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
And then when you're not going quite so well, it goes the other way. But when you're in that when flow going, as a team, you just
team.
Keep winning when sometimes you have no right to win.
Yeah. You know? And we had a fast bowler who I thought was probably one of the best in the country, even though you're talking Lilly and Thompson and Hurst and Callan and, you know, Gilmore, Colley, all these teams all had these all these super quicks. But I thought our attack with Pryor, Hogg and whatever, Jana Mallet, was the attack. Yeah. But I had a million years for Wayne Pryor. Yeah. I thought Wayne Pryor was one of the best quicks
he was.
Going around. And he was respected by a lot of the top orders all around the
country. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He was no doubt at all. Yeah. They loved him. And he didn't get the headlines that Tomo and Lilly got, but if you talk to the top four or five batsmen in each state, they all say the same thing.
Yeah.
Pryor.
I noticed in the four or five bowlers that you mentioned there at that time, that Gaz didn't get a mention.
No,
I used to bowl first, 75 first class wickets, Baz.
Gave you nothing.
75 first class wickets. Right?
Did you get really 75?
Yeah.
First.
Yeah. Well, come on. What's wrong?
No. I had a theory about bowlers.
Yeah.
I thought bowlers were a bit dumb. And I apologise all the bowlers.
Well, that's why I only got 75. But I'm smarter
than that. I'm thinking it's a summer sport and it gets to 35 to 40 degrees. They got to go back to there, run in, back then eight times. And bowl to me.
Right.
Yeah. Or stand up the other end with a bat in my hand. Go back and do it again. And when you finish this over, go down there with a bit of a spoon and come back and do it again. I didn't think that they were all that there.
Did you ever, through your journey, mention that to a Tomo or a Lily or a Robert? You're dumb as dogs for doing that?
No. I never said they're dumb, but I was not frightened to have a crack at a quick who had a crack at me. That's all. I mean, if he had a crack at me, I'd have a crack back. I remember Dennis Lilly saying, calling me in the rooms afterwards, a cheeky bugger, as we call me. You're a cheeky bugger. And I thought, hang on, why am I a cheeky bugger? You're the one that started with me, like painting crosses on heads and all this sort of stuff. I didn't do anything. All I'm doing here is batting. But no. We had some great quicks around the country and Coswell faced all of them at some stage. So. And it was just an era, wasn't it, mate, of quicks.
Everybody had
that decade.
Everybody had a test attack. Almost.
Everybody had good quicks.
Yeah, yeah.
So no matter where you went, you couldn't escape.
Speaking about sledging fast bowlers, I've only ever done it once. It was in my last Shield season playing against Western Australia, playing against Dennis, right, Dennis Lilly. And I don't know what happened. I mean, stupid, right? Absolutely very stupid. So anyway, I'm only 30 not out or something like that. And he's bounced me. I never hooked him. And he's bounced me, and I flat batted him onto the dog track at the Gabba in front of square leg.
That's
right?
Good hit. Yep.
And he's come down, and he's going, wah, 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 wah. And it was last ball of the over. And I said to him, that's over. Off you go. Right?
Yeah.
And he stopped there, and he blew up. Yeah. And Bash has come up, Rod's come up, and he's got him by the shoulders and said, come on, come around. And then Backus took him off and bowled Clem Alderman instead of him. I thought, thank God about that. Bloody hell.
Because he was wild. Yeah, when he got going,
he was easy to upset.
Oh, yeah. But just a great bowler. A smart bowler.
Yeah.
A very smart bowler. Yeah. He might be, you know, I'll take back what I say about him being dumb. I mean, I wasn't having a crack. All I was saying was he was bowling in the heat.
Batting. Your point was well made.
Well, I'm not arguing your point.
It was just my question was, did you do it while
I had
bowling?
Yeah, of course I did. I had brothers who bowled, all three of them. Two of them played for SA.
Yeah.
But they were bowlers, but one of them was an all-rounder. Dave was an all-rounder. But it never interested me. Bowling never, ever just interested me at all. I never felt like, hey, I wouldn't mind a bit of a bowl here. I was first slip. I didn't get too dirty out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or hot.
Yeah.
Okay. So batting, yeah, batting and the breakfast orders—they were your two priorities.
Well, they were. although, no. My best roommate was Wayne Pryor.
Yeah.
Because he would do everything, absolutely everything. If you came home with a friend, he'd go to another room. And
he used to sleep under the desk.
He was shocking.
He was 6'4" and used to go to sleep under the desk.
He was shocking. He was shocking. I unfortunately taught him how to play Switch, the card game.
Yeah, right.
So he would get me up at like 8 o'clock in the morning. Like, you know me at 8 o'clock. Not the morning, man. I'd have to go face someone in about 3 hours. Let me lay here and die. But he would get me up to play Switch. And watch cartoons.
Yeah.
He was a cartoon freak.
Yeah, he was.
So I had to sit there and watch cartoons with him and whatever, and play Switch. And it wasn't, hey, Baz, would you mind?
That you are.
Hey, come on. The score is, you know, he had it all. And I get up and I might have had a couple of sherbets the night before or something. You know, 8 o'clock, I don't need 8 o'clock. I need more like 10 o'clock.
Well, he might have been smart. He knew you weren't functioning. He'd win a lot of Switch that way.
He was just a great bloke. Yeah, he's a fantastic bloke, you know. He's very good. Just one of those really nice guys who had that ability to just switch on when he got out in the park.
Yeah.
He was quick and he didn't say boo, did he?
No.
And he didn't have to.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you played in that game, Coz, and I'm sorry to go on with this, but against Dougie Walters in Sydney there, we were, this is a Shield year.
Oh,
there was Ian, you and me, and we're all in the cordon, and we got a wicket. Fang got Turner,
right.
Alan Turner,
early.
And all of a sudden there's this massive roar at the City Cricket Ground. What the hell? And it was Dougie Walters coming down the steps.
Of course.
And coming out of the ground. And oh, wow, how is this? What do they think of him? Two balls later, he's out.
Ooh.
Fang got him. They cheered him all the way off. He didn't make a run. They just cheered him off again.
Might have been in the middle of a card game.
Oh, no. Don't say that.
No.
I mean, that sort of stuff. Against West Australia on the other oval, I remember walking out the bat and the umpire at square leg saying, Bass, you probably won't need them. What? Oh, my God. I've got a packet of B&H in my He took them off.
You're going to have a fag in between the overs, will you, mate?
Well, I don't think I'm going to be out there that long. But that was embarrassing as hell. I'm glad he picked it up because someone else would have picked it up.
Mate, well, you sit here and talk all day, mate. I know you're a busy man, but life after cricket for you, how did it pan out?
A lot of years in the golf industry.
Yep.
25 years, a bit like Baz, managing clubs and around Australia, and then 15 years overseas, Indonesia, Japan, Morocco.
Wow.
Coach Morocco.
Then back. Played for Morocco.
Played for Morocco. Qualified to play.
Yeah. You did do anything you like.
You got a bit of Morocco.
There. I've got the jumper at home. Actually.
Yeah, right. What colour's Morocco?
That's fantastic. Green and red and gold.
How old were you then?
54, 55, or something like that. Play with the young blokes against Gibraltar. And Morocco. Right. So I got 50.
You'd be the leading run scorer.
I was the best quick over there, Baz.
Oh, 50. Yeah.
Quick.
No wonder you went to Morocco.
52.
Would I have got a bowl in Morocco?
Yeah.
Should have just said no and talked yourself up.
Brilliant. Tangier.
Tangier. I lived here. And then for the last 14, 15 years, I've been involved in psychotherapy practice that I have in Brisbane and work in the areas of mental health and then do some sports stuff as well, imagery work, sports hypnosis, all that sort of stuff. So any Lions players who'd like to kick straight, just give us a buzz and I'll fix you up.
Can you help them with that, mate?
I help Greg Chappell with his putting. Greg, if you're listening, I hope it's still going okay. Right.
Yeah, so we didn't get a hit in while you were here, Coz.
We will next time.
Yeah, we will, for sure.
We've got
mate,
some pretty good reciprocals here from Brisbane Golf Club. We've got all the reciprocals here, so that's good.
Last question, mate, then I'll let you go. It's a big area now, that mental health space. There's been a much greater recognition in that. Have you found that in the last 15 years of the journey? More and more people reaching out to you to get better in there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I work in the two spaces, in the private space and also in the business sector as well, whereas some execs are going through some interesting times in their position. Maybe they've been, you know, high performers, you know, for a long time, then all of a sudden not performing.
Yep.
And so we talk about, you know, where they are in their job, and invariably it's not only where they're in their job, it's what's happening at home and all that sort of stuff. Yes. It's a cycle. You can't leave stuff at work and not take it home. It's just that circle, getting that circle right, and then trying to break it, you know, to break the circle, whatever's keeping them in there, just to do something different. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, just to find another way out. And if you can show someone a way out, a future for themselves, when quite often they think, no, it's, you know, my life's crap and it's always been this way and it's never going to get any better.
Yeah.
If you can show them a vision for what a future could look for them, then what they're going through now is not quite so important. It's important, but not quite so strong in there.
Yeah.
You know, in their mind, and just give them a vision of what the future could look like for them. Yeah. You know, so it's an interesting field.
Yeah. Don't go to the Coldplay concert would be one I'd recommend.
Definitely. That one's out. Not only for the fact that you are out of Coldplay concert, but you're cold. What are you doing there?
Yeah, I really appreciate the time. It's been great to catch up with you.
It's been good. Thanks, Ben. Good to see you.
No, I'm there. Get out, mate. It will be on all the time. Like, share, subscribe. That really helps us out. Don't worry about what that says. Like, share, subscribe.